destination. No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go.
Good morning and welcome to Michelle Speaks 7 a.m. service. We are so glad that you have joined us on this morning. It is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is Pastor Michelle Lawrence, and I am so excited about today. I'm grateful for any day and every day that he gives us on this side. It means that there is still work to do, that I still have a plan that's a part of his, I still have purpose that's a part of his perfect plan. We're going to get in and get started the way we always do, and that is giving thanks. And I want to remind folks that no matter how dismal it may seem, no matter how bleak it may look, it will be a brighter day, Kirk Franklin. Brighter day.
Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on, get your bounce on, get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it, you gotta get, come on. Fifth ward, fourth ward. Come on, sing it.
When I close my eyes and think of you and reminisce on all the things you do, I can't imagine my life without you. It's like paradise now.
Never thought the dark clouds would end.
right here. It's going to be a brighter day, and he is jamming. But the truth of the matter is, the reason that you can rock to it is not just because of the rhythm, but because when you rock, you also understand that you are leaning into a rock that brings a brighter day. He brings a brighter day, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what I'm experiencing. When I remember not to become anxious in my own self, in my flesh, and to lay it at his feet, he promises that the day is going to be better. He promised brighter days ahead. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. I have to press towards that joy, though. I have to tell myself it's going to be better. In due season, he is going to give me relief. And so I'm grateful for that. That's why up next we're going to sing Love Theory. I don't want to love nobody but you, God. Nobody but you. Love Theory.
Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How did you see? Your life was the only gift I left for me. To be free. It's amazing with you. I win even if I lose. Everything's working for my good for always.
Come on.
He saves the day.
To know that you are my father and that I am your daughter. Don't want to love nobody but you. And as much as I am rocking and dancing and, you know, he has all of the choreography he done added into that song, the truth of the matter is, and as much as Kirk Franklin has songs that you can jam to and dance to and rock with, it is still the truth. Loving nobody but God. Loving him first and foremost. That's what I give thanks for, because he loved us enough to send his only begotten son. And I never want to lose sight of that. I never want to lose sight that he loved us enough to give the best, the perfect sacrifice. We fell, yet he restored. Amen, amen. We're going to move right on to our scripture. We have Revelations. Yes, indeed, Revelations, the 12th chapter. We read this last week and we're back at it because we weren't done with it last week. The 12th chapter, the 7th through the 12th verse, and it reads as follows. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. I've just read for you Revelations, the 12th chapter, the 7th through the 11th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy and righteous word. It is now time for us to prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. Get yourself in a place where you are blocking out every distraction and that you are going before God with a heart of thanksgiving and that we are asking him to continue to be the God that he is, the head of our lives. Led by our song of meditation, Amen, by Peoples and Song, followed by prayer, which will be led by none other than our very own Minister Malika Rock. Yeah.
Holiness has a name, God, we thank you. Victory has a name, God, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for being our Father, a Father who protects, a Father who loves and provides, a Father who openly professes his love without doubt nor hesitation, and most importantly, a Father who keeps every promise. God, we thank you. And Lord, we come to you this morning, God, with thankful hearts, Father, but eager spirits. We come to you in search of more of you. We come to you crying out this morning, Father, what more can we do to lift up your name? What more can we do to avail ourselves to you, Father? Not just coming to ask for things, Father, but coming to be used for your glory. God, we thank you. We lift up our hands to you, Father. We lift up our heads to you, Father. We lift up our hearts to you, Father. Because without you, we'd be nothing. See, some would say, Father, without you, we'd have nothing. But God, when you know you, when you're in relationship with you, Father, we understand that without you, God, we'd be nothing. So Lord, we thank you for taking our nothing and making it something. Father, we stand before you this morning, God, in representation of your children, in representation of your people, Father, who come to you asking, Father, that you show yourself mighty. Asking that this morning, Father, that whatever they came in need of, whatever they stand in need of, Father, whatever their hearts are crying out to you for, we are standing, Father, asking that you allow your will to be done in their lives. Lord, we are asking that if it is deliverance that they need, Father, that you meet them where they are, Father, and bring them out. Lord, if it is healing that they need, Father, we are asking that you touch them, Father, and send healing virtue to their bodies, Father. Lord, if it is strength that they need, we are asking that you touch, Father God, their bodies, touch their minds, touch their spirits, God, and lift them up. Give them a fresh wind, God, that they understand that it is not by their own might. It is not by their own power, Father God, but your Holy Spirit is what strengthens them. Your Holy Spirit is empowering them and seeing them through, Father. Pastor Michelle said earlier, Father God, no matter how dismal it may seem, God, and we know that things look a bit gray right now, God. Some may even say that things look a bit dark, but we know, Father, that you are the way, the truth, and the light. So we are asking, God, that you send your light this morning. We are asking that you make yourself known to these, your people, Father God. Come to them on their couches, God. Come to them in their homes, God. Wherever they may be, we are asking that you send your power down, God. Lord, we know that you are calling an army in this season, God. You are not just calling, Father God, people to go and be a part of religious practices. You are calling real life participants, God. You are calling those who will dance for you. You are calling those who will shout for you. You are calling those who will make your name known. So, Father, we are asking for a special, Father God, anointing on them on this morning, God, that your word may penetrate their hearts and their minds, Father God, that they may be ready to win the war. God, we are not just in this fight, God, but we are coming to this fight ready for victory. So, God, I ask that you touch every son and every daughter that is under the sound of my voice on this morning, God. Give them everything they need to excel in your kingdom. Give them everything they need to conquer the enemy. Give them everything that they need, God, to stomp on the serpent's head. Father, we love you and we glorify you for victory. We glorify you for who you are, God. We glorify you because we have victory in the name of Jesus. And it is in that name, God, that mighty, that matchless name, that we pray, we render this up, Father God, but we stand and believing that it is done. Father, and we not only just pray, but we celebrate with praise, God. So we will end this prayer with the seal of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. We thank you for that mighty prayer. We thank you for leading us and bringing us to the throne of the Lord. This is what we do. We believe that prayer is a part of every day, not just Sunday. That is why at Michelle Speaks Ministries, we have prayer Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. because there is no better way to get started than to receive your download, your instructions, your orders, whatever you call it, first thing in the morning and getting underway. God will order your steps if you make time to receive the orders. And so we thank you. We thank you for being a part of this ministry. We thank you for joining us. And we are now headed in to the selection just before we have our conversation. And that is, you will win, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like. Not only is it going to be a brighter day, but you will win.
Against your home, the enemy came up against your children, the enemy came up against your name, the enemy came up against your character. You will came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finances. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will
to me wins. Now, my big mom wouldn't say it like that. She wouldn't say everything attached to me wins, but she would say, I am praying for generations. I am praying that in my absence, there will be a blessing. See, that's everything attached to her winning. Now, she didn't say it that way, but I'm evidence. I'm evidence of everything being attached to her. I am evidence that when she prayed for me, this is where I am as a result of her praying for me. And when you believe that everything attached to you wins, you start acting like it. You carry yourself accordingly. You wait to hear instruction. You take the hits first. When you believe and understand that even if I have to take the hit so that they win, let it be. Everybody running to be first. Everybody running to be in charge. Everybody running to lead. Everybody want to do this. I won't be the first person takes the hit. The leader takes the hit. The leader doesn't always get to the promised land. The leader takes the hit. But everything attached to me wins. So if I gotta take the hits so that generations will win. See, I can only imagine Martin saying, I'm gonna take these hits. Because he understood he wouldn't get there. In fact, he said, I may not get there with you. But 40 years later, there stood the first African-American president. So there's something about understanding you might be the stepping stone. And can you embrace being the stepping stone? Can you embrace being the foundation and not the penthouse? That's not what we're talking about today. But there's also something to say about winning. As we were looking at this same conversation about this means war. Because if you don't understand that you have a winning season in the war. Not the end of the war, because everybody's like, and the enemy is, Jesus already paid it, and this is what's going to happen any time. All of that is true. But there is work right now. War right now. And you will win if you understand that you're in the war and you prepare for war. See, we prepare for these little battles. Cheating on my nerve. Yeah, this one said that. We've got all these little adjectives happening. And yet, losing the war. Just, if everything attached to you wins, conversely, everything attached to you loses if you lose. Just for the record, it's not only do they win if you win, but they lose if you lose. That's not so, Michelle. Saul lost. Okay? Cleaned out his entire family. Yes, I do realize there was a son who was crippled. I understand that. But Jonathan died because of his dad. So be clear. We are walking around here doing things, acting as if they don't matter when they do. Oh, my sister said the stone that the builder rejected. What? Come on. Can you be? I'm not going there, though. I said I wasn't going to go back there. Didn't pay attention to that note. I probably should have got it earlier. We smile because you can smile when you're in it. You can smile when you've taken some hits. You can smile even when you're still taking hits. You're just taking hits. In fact, you just learn that hits come with it. You just learn like, oh, I'm about to, you know, okay. You just wake up, stretching out. That's why you gotta be fit for the fight. That's exactly why you have to be fit for the fight. Because if you are not mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically fit, you will lose. You won't win. You will lose. God says that's why you treat the body like a temple. That's why your mind has got to be renewed. That's why your heart has to be right. That all of these things, because you are fighting, there's a war. And there's a war for everybody attached to you. That's why when she can declare everybody wins, the enemy knows that I take you out. I take out everybody attached to you. And it's not that God will not raise up somebody. I understand. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying very clearly is if there are people attached to me, the enemy knows that too. How do you know that? We are now born in sin thanks to Adam. He understood if he could get them to fall, we would all fall. We would all be born under sin. So if you understand this contextually, then you understand that when I win, they win. When I lose, they lose. Come on in. Come on in, sis.
You talking good. I'm enjoying. I'm like, all right now. You talking good. I'm in it. Because it's
real.
We said, see?
Real. And I know that folks look and they're like, you know, they smile, they're laughing, they have old school praise parties where they, you know, are getting it in. And you decide. The reason you can get to I can do all things through Christ is because your mindset. I can do all things through Christ because he's here with me even when I don't have what I used to have. I can do all things through Christ because he didn't leave me nor forsake me when I thought I was being mistreated and mishandled. I can do all things through Christ because when I was crying, he promised to wipe every tear. I can do all, see, we always think that I can do all things through Christ because we were more than conquerors and we done went out and did the thing and we claimed it and named it and we've done all of that. Can he still be all of that when you can't see your way?
Because what they miss is the abound and abast. And a lot of people think about that as stuff, right? I've learned to be abound and I've learned to be abast. And they think that it means that I've learned to have a lot of money and I've learned to not have a lot of money. And what it is, you've learned to do with a lot with a lot and a lot with a little bit. Meaning, like you just said, if I am in a season where God is testing me, and I don't have the resources that I used to have. I don't have the people that I used to have. I can't pull on those extracurricular activities to take my mind off of this thing. And it's just you and I. That's why I know that I can do all things when he strengthens me. You know, Paul found that out because Paul had a Jesus and me moment. There was no one else there. It was not about how strong he was. It was not about how much of a leader and a killer and I'm in these streets. It was none of that. Because when you can't see, you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
When you're blinded, meaning when everything that you know is gone, the only thing you can do is call on the name of Jesus. That is how. So for those who are listening, it is not that we are diminishing I can do all things through Jesus, but we are praying and hoping that through listening that you understand what that really means. Until you've stood with him when it is just you and him, when he's been your only source, when he's been your only provider, your only promise keeper, when you understand he is your GPS to get through life, to get through the war, then you can say it with conviction and mean it. No matter what the circumstances are.
And our circumstances normally come with suffering and sacrifice.
Oh, yes, Lord. After you've suffered a while, it says it, after you've suffered a while. And we want to be established before we suffer.
First of all, we're trying to figure out why suffering is even in the subject. So let me see if I understand. I'm going to have to suffer, yes. And we don't all suffer the same. So stop trying to cross-reference somebody or to, you know, draw lines between you and the person next to you. Well, how come is it, Jesus, that I have to suffer like this, but they ball it, right? Different suffering. You don't know what that balling cost them. You don't know what kind of suffering comes. And people don't think that people who are well off suffer. Yes, they do. The wealthy suffer. Everyone suffers. It's just a different type of suffering. And I know many are like, well, I like to suffer. Like, no, you be careful what you ask for.
No, you don't.
Be careful what you ask for.
Because your suffering may look like the loss of a parent. Your suffering may look like the loss of loved ones. Your suffering may look like there are some things that you're going to have to experience and encounter with no one there to cheer you on, with no one there to comfort you. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, and she was talking to her father, and he said to her, I would sell it all if I could buy more time. Because the one thing that any wealthy person will tell you is that of all the things they can buy, the reality that they cannot buy time is what humbles them the most. So when we look at people and we, why are they? You don't know the time that they've suffered. Not just that we've suffered, but it's the time that you spent in your suffering. Because your time has been your tears. It's where you were molded. It's where you were pruned and purged. It's where you had to rid yourself of some things, the time that you spent in that suffering. You know, I remember you always telling us that people want your now, but they don't want what it took you to get to your now, you know? And you know, even what we're talking about right now, they don't want to spend the time to get there.
No. And for those who have gotten there even before you, they still trying to pledge you like you need more time in because you didn't do time that they did. You have no idea the catch 22. You just have to realize I'm not caught between a rock and a hard place. I am in him and he is in me. And at some juncture, you really do just say, that is not my concern. If you are not pleased, take it up with Jesus. And you keep it moving. Mm-hmm. And you keep it moving. But you're right, sis. I tell folks, you want to be me? Okay, I was making $3.35 whole cents an hour. Be me then. Be me then. Be me when you graduate with your degree and you're making $19,000 a year. Be that me. Be that me. Yeah.
Because the word says that, even in the word that you read today, it says they overcome and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of the testimony. So my testimony is just as important as my time.
Yes. Yes.
My testimony is just as important. The time that you spent is your testimony. So when we see people, even when we think about ourselves in the war, I may not be where God has destined me in the end, but today, the win that I had today is worth celebrating. Today's win is worth the joy. Today's win is worth the high five. Today's win is worth it. And when we realize, to something that you said earlier, that every period in the war, every moment, every time has a win. There are victories throughout the war. Battles only won and done. But the war in its entirety, victory's worth celebrating.
And not ahead of yourself. You know, sometimes we say victory, that's all we want to do. And there is victory in suffering.
Yes. Yes, God.
There are times that I'm coming to appreciate that I got to take this. I got to walk this one out. This one is not a circumvent. This is not a go around. This is not a, you know, get me up and pull me over. This is not one of them carry moments. This is a walk it out moment. And I'm gonna have to walk it out. And the maturity that comes with it. Do you know I spend just as much time in this current war telling God I'm not gonna embarrass him? Because I've embarrassed him. I have stomped. I have, what in the world? How could you do this to me again? Like, I have lost my absolute mind because during the war, I was so focused on what I thought the plan was going to be. I was so focused on, you know, the trajectory I thought it was on. And here's what you understand. that even when you think you're winning, God is like, yeah, got something for you, though, even in the midst of this win. Can you still celebrate when he gives you something and then takes it away? Like, can you still say amen? Can you still say amen? Can you still say it has to work together for my good? Because I know what it's like. Come on. Because I know what it's like. See, some folk can see me when I didn't do what I thought I was going to do. I preach. How about you go preach? How about I don't want to preach? I don't want to preach today because that's part of the war. The enemy said, see that? You knew this was going to happen. You actually told him that you knew that this was going to happen. And then now you have it. And he was just all of that tape playing. And I'm losing it. And you want me to preach? Yeah, I got a word. And still, I had to drop to my knees each time and say, not about me. Not about me. And on that last day, when I wasn't sure what was going to happen, I promised him on October 1st of 2019, I was not going to embarrass him, no matter what the outcome. No matter what the outcome. We are not that far from October 1st right now. And I promised him that I wasn't going to embarrass him, and I didn't. The outcome wasn't what I thought. Mm-hmm. Surely wasn't what I thought. But I took my lumps that day and said, he is still God. And whatever it is, he knows. Because I've been obedient. So I'm going to just believe. He knows. And here we are again. And something new is happening on October 1st of 2020. And just when you think that you're like, okay, well, I got through that. Whew, and he's like, mm-mm. We ain't done. Here's something else for you. And that's why during this war, you have to be able to assess, what is my mindset? What do I really believe? See, war will tell you what you believe versus what you speak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. War gonna be like, so you believe that, sis? You believe that? Come on in this room, let's see what you believe.
Because just like in a real war, it's when you get tested now. Now your emotions running high. You feeling all the way vulnerable, you know, in the, you know, law enforcement realm, and they do it also in the military. They teach you that when, you know, your adrenaline is running high, and when you are in that fight or flight syndrome, and in that moment, you have to decide. And in that space of deciding, your fine motor skills are done. The ability to make sound decisions. The ability to identify what it is that you need to do left from right, up and down. The simple things that you think you know, like being able to put on your armor that you didn't have on when you came to the war.
Right.
That's why the enemy does what he does. Because you can't pull down on what you don't have access to. You can't pick up the phone in the middle of the war and say, send me my shield, I left it.
Wow. I came unprepared, no helmet. That's why he's playing Jedi mind tricks. Because I'm walking around here with no helmet.
Because I thought that my shoes of the gospel of peace were going to hold me through.
Or my sword. See, I'm so busy thinking my name is Peter.
Yeah.
Right? But what we forget about Peter is that he denied Jesus 3 times. See, we always want to be the Peter that cut him, but we don't want to be the Peter that denied. And that's the same Peter.
Had it somewhere with
it. Peter.
I got it under my arm. But what good is the scripture when you can't get it out?
What good is the scripture when you deny it? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that part.
Mm-hmm.
It said the what? What? No, I'm not doing that part.
Right. I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not down with that one.
Right. Because when Jesus used it in the wilderness, well, you know, I think what a lot of people realize is that he meant what he said. He meant what he said. See, when we get to that place where we have to tell the enemy about those things that are pulling on our triggers, that are pulling on us, and we have to deny those things and saying, not only do I not desire them, but I desire more of God than I do of those things. See, we want to just deny it and act like it never happened, that we were never related to those things. But Jesus said, no, I recognize what that is. You showing me what you think I would like.
Right. Right. But I got my priorities in order. Yeah, I might have wanted that, but that doesn't supersede. Yeah, I know. I haven't had no food for 40 days and 40 nights. And bread. Yeah, sound really good right now. But that's not a priority. Not from you. And that's the idea. You know, just like when you're in business, you say all money ain't good money. I used to say that. All money ain't good money. All money ain't good. There's some things that you will say, I'd rather be broke. And we ain't going to go back to what we did last week when we were talking about running.
Right.
But there was just a saying about all money
right.
ain't good money. And if taking yours means that I am going to compromise some, then
Come on. Since I was watching something earlier and it talked about the loyalty and integrity of God. And God's character does not change. It is the same. And when we have to operate out of integrity, we find it so hard that we can't shimmy our way out, that we can't do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And, you know, for the people who are listening to us today, it is the hope that they understand you can't play both sides in a war.
No.
You have to choose a side and stay there. And then you will be able to experience all of the victories that come on that side. But you can't go on the enemy side, come back when we win and go back when we losing. You have to stick it out because there are going to be, as you said earlier, some moments of suffering. But victory is the promise.
And that is the walk. If you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you've declared war. It's just as simple. Understand that Satan declared war long before you got here. He declared war with you long before you got here because he declared war with God. And since he understands he could not be God, he is after his creation. That means you and I. So while you're talking about, well, I don't believe and I'm not a part of, understand you've lost. That's what you've said. Well, no, because I don't believe. Do you understand that? So I'm going to dabble just a little bit from my sister. Ignorance of the law. Doesn't mean you don't get sentenced. That doesn't mean that you don't get violations. Doesn't mean that you will not land in jail.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I don't know is the one justification defense that does not exist.
I went to court. I parked unknowingly in a handicap spot. Because in this particular handicap spot, I'm so used to looking at the ground. I'm even looking at the ground now. I'm so used to looking at the ground for the handicap that I didn't look up on top of this pole. And there was a cop right there. Watched me pull in, park, go in. And so I come back out. There's a ticket. I'm like, seriously, though? Like, you wouldn't just say it's a handicap? Like, you just watch? And then it's mandatory court. So I'm in trouble twice because I didn't even go to court. I'm like, where's the fee? How you pay the ticket? Because I've never gotten a ticket. So I consult an attorney and say, I'm going to court over this ticket, you know, I'm gonna get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And they said, go in and say guilty with an explanation. And I'm coming from work, I'm in the courtroom, and everybody in the courtroom at that hour did not come from work, just for the record. So I'm the only one in there looking like I got some money and I don't. So I come up to the bench and literally, right. Now what he looked, what I told him is, no, I look like I came from work. That's what you need to understand.
Briefcase, counselor, come on.
Look, he was sentencing folks. They weren't even able, he's like, no. Just bailiff. Like he wasn't, it, and so I got up there and he's smiling, but he's doing his best not to smile. So he sees me and I'm, you know, in my little business mode. And he says, well, how do you, have an attorney? I said, no, I do not. He says, well, how do you plead? I said, guilty with an explanation. And he doesn't drop his head completely, but I'll get to the end. He hears me. He says, guilty with, so she went and got some coaching. So let's hear her out, guilty with an explanation. I said, Your Honor, I am used to there being lines, and there were no lines, there was no paint, there was no handicap sign. I said, and there was a cop sitting right there. Do you think I was just gonna sit part? And so he saw me getting indignant because the cop was there. I'm like, so you thought that I was just going to, he's like, there she go. I said, I did not. And it was further up the pole. And I didn't think to look all the way up the pole. So I took a picture and I presented, and he said, we won't charge you this fine, but you have to pay, blah, blah, blah. Nevertheless, I was guilty. He did not want to hear that you, ma'am, you parked in a handicapped spot. And I said that and I kind of smiled and laughed through it. But in the midst of that, I'm like, did this just say jail? Like I could do two days? Two days?
Right.
That ain't the ministry I signed up for, Jesus. So just tell me what this here ticket is. He's like, well, you missed the court date. So, you know, they could give you 2 days and it's handicapped, blah, 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 blah. Worst case scenarios. So I say that to say this, you can say what you don't believe.
Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a time where you're going to have to accept responsibility. Because guilty with an explanation is accepting responsibility. Because I understand that I should have known, but I'm explaining to you why I, not that I didn't know, I was operating out of what I was used to, but here I am, and now I understand how to move forward.
Now I understand. Just don't let that be too late.
Yeah. Because if you waited too many days, sis, they could have come looking for you.
Oh, could have. Everything suggested, they were like, you didn't show up to court. I'm like, what do you mean? I always pay my tickets. Like, so I'm trying to figure out what the problem is. And it was nothing. This is what I mean by generational blessings. Cause my big mom, I know that was some covering, yes. But I say that to say this, there is a war for your soul. And for those of us who are saved, there is a war for those attached to you.
Yes, God. Yes, it is.
Salvation is yours. The war is still happening. You are still in the midst of it. And those are facts. You have to put on the whole armor. As me and sis have been saying, to walk out with anything less than all of it is to leave yourself subject to losing. God didn't put us here to lose, but he certainly put us in here for training, for preparation, to walk through it, to get through it, and to lead others. You're not just responsible for leading yourself. You are also here to take some hits for somebody else. And that's a part of this journey. That's a part of this journey. So when we say it's our winning season, it's because we know what it is to have a losing one. When you take those hits and you're like, okay, still got to get back up, got to keep marching forward, because the expectation is there's a reason for this season. There's a reason. somebody's watching, I'm being pruned and purged, whatever it is. But at the end, I went, and everything attached to me. So had I decided that I really wasn't going to preach last year, had I decided that I was going to throw up my hands because I got frustrated with outcomes, there would be no Michelle Speaks Ministries. You got to take the hits, because there is a war. We thank you for joining us. We realize this hour goes so quickly every time, but we are ever grateful to have spent it with you. I'm always grateful when my sis can join me, Minister Malika Rahman. It is always a pleasure. Know this, know that we love you, but God loves you best. We pray that you will join us Monday through Friday for our daily prayer call. We get it in. We have Malika Rahman, Minister Malika Rahman on Tuesday. The men hit it up on Thursdays. You got to come and hear the men Thursday mornings. It's all about it. But we want you to get right. We want you to stay right. And we will do our part so that you fulfill your purpose. God bless you and keep you as our prayer. Take care. God bless. Don't worry about your destiny.